Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English.
And I've got another guest interview today. I'm really looking forward to bringing you this conversation, but I also wanted to let you know that we are starting something new today, and it's a new series. So this year, English with Kirsty, the podcast, is 10, and I wanted to do something to mark that, but also to celebrate learning. And I thought one way to do that, we could celebrate learning in all its forms, is to have 10 episodes to talk about different kinds of learning. So that's what we're doing. And we're starting that today. And I've got a special guest. When I decided to do something about learning and courses and education, I thought he would be a great person to speak to. I wasn't sure if he would agree, and he did, so that's good. Welcome, Alfonso. Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure and I'm honored when someone invites me to talk. I mean, so yeah, thank you for inviting me. Thank you for having me, Kirsty.
It's great that you're here. Maybe you could start by pronouncing your full name properly, because I'm not going to attempt it.
Absolutely. I am Alfonso González. That's the way we will say it in Spanish, in Spain at least. So yeah, and I am I have been in the industry for 25 years more or less already, in the translation, localization industry, education industry as well. I don't know if the word industry is the proper one, but you know, in this side of...
Yeah, I mean, everyone uses it. So yes. So what about before that? So going back to, I don't know, Alfonso at school, or when did language, or learning language or using other language, when did that become interesting for you?
That's a very interesting question. I think I was, you know, Spain is very particular, and the English proficiency level here was not very high until recently. It's not still super high, but it's becoming better. Education has changed a lot. I was born in the year 77. Spain was a dictatorship until the year 75. So, you know, they didn't foster the learning languages very much. Yeah, I think that I was lucky to have parents that spoke languages. My father is a bilingual speaker of French and Spanish. And they also wanted me to learn languages, and it's something that I started liking. I also used to collect stamps, so I had access to stamps of the world and things like that. And then you, I'm talking of the times when there was no internet, so you had to physically email people, send not email, mail people, sorry. You have to send them letters. So for example, if you wanted to subscribe to the postal service of, I don't know, Norway, you had to write in English. So I think that was one of my first experiences. And then let's say the experience for me was when I was 13 years old and my parents sent me to the US to learn English. So yeah, that was a game changer for me, like that opened my mind in many different ways. And of course, it was very good for learning English, or in order to improve my English. So yeah, I think that will be like the first experience, like the going to the US. Yeah,
it's interesting, because when you were talking about the stamps, I was thinking that makes it real, you know, like sometimes things that we maybe have to learn at school, they don't really have much relevance to our lives outside. But as soon as people start enjoying music or collecting stamps, or maybe like in my case, having friends in other countries, then it becomes real, because you have a good reason to want to learn the language.
Absolutely. Yep.
And so how long did you stay in the US?
It was something like summer. I don't remember very well. I think it was something like 2 months or something like that. It was nice. You stayed there with the family. So it was living like, with the family, the American way. So it was really nice family. They they took me around to see places and stuff like that. And yeah, it was an interesting experience because you are used to your own country, your own ways. I had just traveled with my parents in Europe, so this was the first time I was going alone somewhere. And even if I spoke a little bit of English, I was not fluent at all. So that was a true challenge. And yeah, and after that, I realized that I could, of course, and I had to learn to communicate properly. So I discovered when I was back in Spain that I was one of the very few who could communicate in English. So I said, okay, this helped. So yeah, money well invested, thanks to my parents.
Yeah, and I guess that's also finding out that you had to, like, it was you were pushed in the deep end, really. If you wanted to communicate during, I mean, you were only 13, that's quite young. Like, if you wanted to communicate with people, you had to try and you had to find ways of saying things, even if you didn't really know how to do that. It's like learning by doing.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely.
yeah, your parents did you a favor.
Yeah, no, indeed. That's what I always say. I mean, languages, learning a language. I'm married to a German woman, and we have two children, two daughters, and they are amazing, my wife as well. And one of the things that I see is that they are learning, or they both speak now German and Spanish. And that's a present that parents make. I mean, because they are learning naturally, as you were saying, by doing. So, and that's a present that they will always have with them. So that's, I mean, we can give them whatever thing you can think of material, but they may break it, they may lose it or whatever, but that's something that is going to be with them all their lives. And that's super beautiful. So that's, I think that's one of the biggest presence that we can make them. So yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's the window into two cultures as well. They have the language, and then you can help them to understand about the German culture and the. Do you live in Spain now? Or do you?
Yeah,
Yeah.
we lived for the last 5 years. We were living in Germany, in Berlin, but yeah, we decided to move to Spain, to the good weather. So we are here in Malaga, in the south of Spain. So
Yeah, I like Berlin. It has a lot to offer, but yeah, the weather, there's no comparison, is there, with
yeah.
Spanish weather and German
Now,
weather?
Berlin is a great city. I love it as well. But yeah, if we compare, well, I don't like to compare, but if we compare weather, yeah, I mean, no, Berlin is not going to beat Malaga at all.
So, but I guess a lot of what you do is online. Maybe for people who don't who aren't aware of what you do, can you explain a bit about your role now? Like, what does your day look like? What are your areas of what are you working in? I know mainly about your training platform, which we'll come on to a second, but I know that's not the only thing that you do. So how would you describe yourself professionally?
Oh, professionally, yeah. Well, I'm a person wearing a lot of hats, and that's what I will say. So I work full time as a localization manager for Sinch, which is a communication platform as a service company. It's a Swedish company, a multinational company. So I'm in charge of the localization structure of the company, so giving service to all the team and units that need content or products or services localized. So that's what I do full time. And I said, oh, I'm bored. I'm going to start another business apart from having a family. Yeah, so like 5 years ago, more or less the same time when my daughter is also 5 years old, so they were born more or less at the same time, I
Okay.
decided to create
Busy
Translastart,
time.
which is my this training online learning platform that you were mentioning. And yeah, there we what we do is we offer mainly courses for language professionals. And yeah, that's basically it. I mean, that's what I'm doing now. I have been a translator, I have been a project manager, now I'm a localization manager, have been a professor at university. Also always related to culture, languages, and yeah, and these fields of expertise.
So I'm interested in this idea because you have a lot going on. You're busy with your job and your family, but you decided to create this platform with courses. I'm wondering what made you see the need to do that? Was this gap in the market? Did you find, were you looking for courses and you couldn't find them, so you thought, okay, I'll do it myself? Or did you want to help people that were just starting in the industry? Where did the idea come from?
That's a very good question as well. It's a mixture of several things. It's first of all, I am a person that, I mean, I have 4 master degrees, so I have always liked to keep on learning, and that's one of the mottos that we use on TranslateStars, this keep on learning. And one of the things that I wanted was to find courses that I couldn't find, and that I also started offering before, and I said, okay, I want this to be online so everybody could have access to them. And then I wanted to do something that was, okay, I am good at audiovisual translation or marketing translation. I have done many years audiovisual translation or project management or localization management, but I don't know about many other fields. And I would like to invite people to and give me a second. I would like to invite people. Sorry, I was closing the door because
That's
my
fine.
daughter arriving. This is the things of doing things live. And and I wanted to invite other professionals to create courses and to share their expertise or how they see things or how they do things. I think that's what enriches us more, because of course you can go to a library or you can go online and you'll find a lot of information about how to do this or that thing or about audiovisual translation. But I wanted to bring something different. I wanted to bring people's experience. I wanted people to explain, okay, this is this is what they explain to you at university, which is super cool, but the real world is different. You will have
Yeah.
to face a lot of different challenges that nobody explains to you. Nobody tells you how to do this. Nobody even tells you how to charge your customers or what about fees or anything like that. So that's what I wanted to bring. And yeah, I think we are doing a pretty good job. Just 5 years old, so still many things to do and improve.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot about either from people who have been on your courses or people who are running your courses. In the circles that I move in on LinkedIn, people are always talking about it. So you're obviously meeting a need. And I think we sometimes, yeah, like some people just love to keep learning, but also we need to keep learning because I think it came up. We had a networking event this week and we were talking about changes to the translation industry because it was mainly translators there, and you know what's going on and what people can do for themselves. But also, you know, if you diversify, if you learn new skills, then you have more to offer. And sometimes it's overwhelming. There's so many options, you don't know where to go. But if you offer a platform where it's specifically aimed at a group of people who will be looking for this information, then they can see what you have to offer. I think it helps to make it relevant, but also to make it easy to find what's available and what could be potentially useful, and people who understand as well. It's not like, as you say, bring the theory and the practice together, because people think that they're going to be working in their own business, for example, freelancing, and you forget that you have to do marketing, you have to maybe do social media, you have to, as you said, decide what your rates are going to be. And there are so many parts, whether or not you're adding additional services, but so many parts that people don't necessarily learn in formal education.
Yeah, absolutely. And then maybe you have focused all your career in, I don't know, audiovisual translation or legal translation, and now you want to explore, as you were saying, expand your services or do something different for a change. So you start learning about something different, and that's always nice. And then what I also wanted to do was to create something that was affordable. So we have subscription plans that, I mean, they are affordable at least for European students. We would love to have prices that were more affordable for the whole world. But look, and this is an irony, being a localization specialist as I am, we cannot geolocalize our prices because the platform that we use doesn't allow us to do so. So we have to have all prices in euros, for example, and that's something that may be appealing to European customers, but not to American customers, for example. And then something that I would like to do is, okay, we have a price set for example, for France, but maybe in, I don't know, Norway, the price could be higher because their purchasing power is way higher than in France or Spain or Italy or Greece. Same thing for, I don't know, for people in Nigeria, why should they be paying the same amount that we are paying in Spain? I mean, if their purchasing power is lower, we could offer better prices. But that's something we cannot do right now with the platform we are using. But that's something I'm always thinking of, okay, is how we can help people to access education, even if they cannot afford that. So yeah, it's a constant fight. So we have these subscription plans that I think are quite affordable, like paying 100 euro and you have access to 300 courses. I think that's really good. So
I didn't actually know that because I have seen information about individual courses and I think
yeah.
they also have course prices, but I didn't know that you had a subscription model as well.
It's very similar. I mean, when people ask me about it, I say, okay, if you use streaming platform, it's the same. Like, I mean, I'm not comparing. I wish we were like Netflix, but it
Netflix,
works the same way in the end. I mean, you subscribe and then you have access to absolutely everything. With us, it's exactly the same. You subscribe and you have access to everything, so you don't have to worry about paying more fees or anything like that. Because a lot of people get in touch with us, even if the information is there, but they tell us, but do I have to pay more? So, no, you don't have to pay more. Once you have the subscription, everything is included. Wow, but that's very convenient. So that's why we made it.
And what does that mean, everything? Because we before we started recording, we were talking about some live events. You have both live events and recorded courses, or how does that work?
Nowadays, all our courses, first, they all, maybe 95% of our courses, they first go live. So we have live sessions of those courses. We of course record them, and they are uploaded to the platform, and people can follow them live or the recorded versions. We have users from all over the world, so sometimes some people write us and tell us, look, for this professional or personal commitment, I cannot attend the live session. And don't worry, that's okay. We do not have due dates or limits or anything. I do not believe in those things. People can access the content whenever they want, as many times as they want. They can reuse it as many times as they want, no problems at all. It's quite open, quite flexible. And I think that's another advantage of what we have created compared to other platforms that limit the usage or tell you need to finish this course in 1 month, otherwise you lose access. I don't like that at all. We don't
People
have
learn
to.
in different ways, don't they? I mean, I think that's one way to accommodate that. Okay, you have different time zones, but also some people need to be very focused. Some people can't absorb so much information at one time and they need to come back to it sometimes. Sometimes people need to revisit things to make sure they got it. Like, we're so different, and
Yeah,
that's one of the
absolutely.
challenges at school, isn't it? Like, if you talk about formal education, often people are expected to learn in the same way, but as adults, we have the freedom to figure out what works for us, but then it's also up to course providers to try and provide an experience that allows us to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, we all have different ways of learning. Some people like watching a screen, some others reading, some others just listening and relaxing. Some others they like to interact, some others like to be quiet. So why forcing people to do things one way or the other? So I think these live sessions, what I always ask our collaborators is, please try to create some activities that allow people to participate if they want. We never force anyone to participate. But that way, those people who like to participate, to collaborate, they can do it. And those who like just to sit there, relax, listen, they can also do it. Or those who watch the recorded version, they can also just relax and enjoy. They can stop, they can go back, they can go forward. So I mean, I think it's a good idea in general. I know other people are doing it. I have not discovered anything. But at least we are trying to provide a good experience in the localization or languages side. And I think we again we are doing a good job. We're still far from being excellent, but that's where I'm aiming for excellence. I like to do to I want to create a service that it's really, really good for everyone.
Yeah, and it sounds like you've got a lot of courses on there already. I was just wondering, so if somebody gets a subscription, are there any like roadmaps that help people decide which of the 300 courses to start, or is it they use a search, or like for looking at different levels of experience or different
That's a
interests?
very good point. That's a very good question. And actually, that's something that talking about roadmaps, that's a roadmap. It's in our roadmap. And I wanted to also create something like this. I wanted to call it like a roadmap or journey. So people know, I mean, if you want to, for example, to take out your visual translation, okay, I suggest you to do this course first, then this. But as you were saying before, we are all different. We are at different stages, different levels, because you may have learned something out of visual translations, or something very basic doesn't, it's not what you want. So we have different courses with different levels. You can check by different fields of expertise. So we have a page where you have all the titles of the courses and in the different languages that we offer them, and you can choose whatever suits you better. You have also the description pages in each of the courses, so you can see what the course is about. You can also download the course program. We try to provide information so people can make informed decisions about, okay, this is the course that it's for me or not, and that's completely okay, of course. And then another good thing I'm very proud of that I rarely see in any platform or in any service is our refund policy. So if you are not happy, we will give you your money back. So no problems. I mean, this is also following a European directive, by which asks people to refund or to give 14 days to test a product or a service. And that's what we do. I mean, and people stay. I think we have had two, three cases of people who didn't like our courses or whatever they didn't like. But I mean, two or three cases out of thousands of people, it's very little. So, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like people are enjoying it and coming back. And I guess once you've like for example, somebody does a course and then you find that that course creator does another course, and then you can come back and see what else they've created. You can find people whose either teaching style or whose content is particularly relevant or interesting for you, and then you can come back because it keeps growing. I think you keep adding new courses.
We usually try to offer different editions of courses because things get evolving, and even more nowadays with AI. So AI is changing absolutely everything. So probably something that we taught 2 years or 3 years ago or 5 years ago when we started has completely changed nowadays. So that's what we try to do. So we try to update courses, to offer new editions of courses, and we try to offer many different deep fields and different types of content. So it's not always about one topic, and it's not always about audiovisual translation, but we have pharmacy, we have audiovisual. This week alone, we have a subtitling course, the Master in AI and Innovation. Next week, we have marketing for the pharmacy industry. I mean, we have a variety of topics and fields that I'm very proud of what the
Yeah.
collaborate with us have achieved. So, and yeah, luckily, so of course, and this is life, some courses work better than other. So that's something that I'm always very honest when I talk to people who collaborate with me and they ask me about the money they can make. I say, look, it depends on the topic, and also it depends on usually in the collaborator how often he or she promotes his or her course online. And so social media nowadays is queen or king. So if you don't show yourself on social media, probably nobody's going to buy the course, because we are a company selling a course. So yeah, people perceive us as a company, more or less friendly, but a company. But if you, Kirsty, create a course for translators, and you talk about your own course, people prefer that, because okay, a person talking to another person, literally. So it's not a company, an entity talking to people and telling, hey, buy my course because they are very good now. No, but if they get it from you, they trust you and they say, okay, yeah, I like Kirsty, so I'm going to buy her course. Okay, fantastic.
There's also that, and I guess there's the reliability of the brand behind it, like your brand. If people know, have done one of your courses before, and they find a creator that they would like to find out more about their courses, I think the two can go together. Sometimes it's like already a trusted brand, and then you find a creator. So I can see that working well together if the two things come
No,
together.
of course,
But
it's fun.
you mentioned languages. How many languages? I know you have English, I know you have Portuguese. Which other languages are?
Actually, Portuguese, this is the first, this week is being the first time
I
we
know.
have a course in Portuguese with Maria Virginia Barros, and I love her, people love her. She's really, really good at teaching, and all the feedback that we get after she has finished a course is amazing. People love her, literally love her. And then we have courses. We started with Spanish, then we started with then we continued with Italian, then with English, and now we have Portuguese, French, and German as well, German courses. And we are always open to have more courses. We were working on courses in Arabic, so I hope we can bring them soon. And yeah, that's the idea, is to offer courses in as many languages as people want to. I mean, we need collaborators who want to create those courses, and we will put the platform and all our social media to promote them.
That's very cool because I think it's important for people to be able to learn in the, obviously you have to have the collaborators, but people to learn in the language that they want to learn in, and I think that's really good. I mean, does that all sit in the same subscription? So like if you can do courses in different languages if you have access.
Absolutely. That's the point. I mean, again, this is like, I don't like to compare, but this is like Netflix. You can watch the movie in whatever the language you want. Here it's the same. You can take the course in whatever the language it has been created. So if the Portuguese courses, the German courses, all courses are included in the subscription plans, all translator's courses. So yeah, there are no limits in the languages or anything.
And for the creators, I think that's nice as well because if you maybe some may create a course in English to get a wider reach, but then if you've already got the material, then you can also offer that in your first language for people who want that. And or the other way around, you start off offering something in your first language and then you've done all the work, you've created the course. So if you speak other languages, then you can offer the same content. You're not reinventing anything, you're just
That's it. For example, that's what Maria, we were talking about her before, Maria Virginia, she did that. I mean, she created the course in English. It worked so well that we said, okay, let's try with Portuguese. Let's see how people react to having a course in Portuguese. And it has been a good reaction. So people like it, and we said, okay, maybe this is a way to go. I mean, offering more courses in Portuguese, because sometimes we only think of the Portuguese from Portugal as a market, but yeah, Portuguese is spoken in many countries in the world, Brazil, Angola. So yeah, there are many places where they may be interested in learning more about subtitling in Portuguese and not be limited to just English or Spanish courses. So
Yeah, and I was talking with her today, and she was saying that she was looking forward to listening to our interview. So I'm sure she'll look forward, she'll enjoy hearing the positive feedback about her
yeah,
courses
she'll be
too.
happy to listen that. Everybody, I love her, and everybody loves her. Well, she knows. Well, yeah, it's always positive and reinforces.
Yeah, and I think I have to say this as a language trainer, but as somebody who works and helps other people to develop their language skills, learning about something else in an additional language is also a really good way to learn. I do that sometimes. I sign up for things in courses in languages other than English just because I don't want to be using English all the time. I know that I am in a more privileged position because a lot of things are created in English, but as somebody who also is invested in improving my three other languages, I want to learn things in those languages. It doesn't just have to be a language course. You can get so much additional value by attending courses on other interesting topics in your additional languages?
Yeah, absolutely. Courses, listening to the radio, watching a movie, reading books. I have been living in Germany, as I was telling you, for 5 years, and my German didn't improve a lot. But we moved here back to Spain, and as my daughters are, sorry, one is 5 and the other is going to be 5 and the other is 2 years old, I read them a lot of books, and I read them in German, even if my German is not very good. But that has helped me improve my German skills. So it's true what you are saying. I mean, you don't have to be just taking language courses to improve it. And then I listen to a lot of children's songs in German. I watch cartoons in German. So now for me, it's being like also like natural way of learning German, even more than in Germany, because in Berlin everybody speaks English. So I have very few opportunities to speak anything that was not English or Spanish. So yeah, it's curious that that when you are exposed to so many things in another language, you end up learning, of course.
And also the things that are relevant to your profession, I guess, as well. If you're like, I'm doing a Portuguese course, but I don't expect the teacher to know a lot of the vocabulary that I'm learning if I attend events in the language industry. You know, it's completely different. It's a way to specialize, maybe if you're like to also for translators to also attend stuff in their source languages so that they are exposed to the vocabulary. I mean, they'll probably know it as well, but if you want to specialize in something, then it's a good way to see how people actually talk about this thing in another language.
No, of course. And then getting the terminology for your own field, that's always the most complicated thing. And or at least for me, my experience, I mean, that's really challenging. And because you may know how to talk about that topic in your own language, but when it comes to explain the same thing in another language, even if you are proficient in that language, that's way complicated, more complicated. So
And it's
that's it.
active and passive vocabulary as well, like you may understand it, but then can you talk about it if it's not something you have to?
Absolutely.
So how about you? Like as like you're overseeing all this, you're managing the, but do you attend some of the courses? Do you participate?
I sometimes, yeah, I mean, I'm everywhere on the platform. So I mean, everywhere in the sense that I'm trying to manage that everything's working well. I work also answering, supporting people, supporting the collaborators who need things. So I am more on the back end side of it. But sometimes I'm also part of the courses and part active part being a teacher. So for example, I teach some SEA. Search engine advertising and localization. I also teach in the localization management program, and I like teaching. It's something that I have done for many years, so I like doing it. I enjoy doing it. That's also one of the reasons why I created Translators, because it's something that it's one of my passions. So, yeah, I mean, I'm. And then I take some of the courses. For example, in this master, the first masters we have launched, Master in AI and Innovation for Localization. I also attend some of the live sessions because I'm particularly interested in learning from this or that person. And of course, I try to follow, and then I read what some of their presentations. So I'm always, on the loop and trying to learn.
Yeah, I think that's, you can tell that people who love learning and who are interested in learning will do it even when there's no, like when you're not being forced to because you have to get a certain qualification or, you know, like I think, and also those are the people that I most enjoy working with as somebody who works in training, the people who want to learn and who can see the benefits for that. I think most of the people, a lot of the podcast listeners are people for whom your courses will be relevant because I'm working more and more with people in the translation, localization industries now. So they would be interested if they don't know already, which many of them already do. But for others, maybe who aren't working in that industry, I think a lot are professionals or freelancers or people with their own businesses. And I don't think that there is a lack of interest in training and development, but I think one of the challenges that people have is that they don't create time for it. So it's an investment in yourself, ultimately in your business, but people don't create the time to do that because they say that they're too busy. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I find myself in that situation, so I cannot blame anyone for saying that. So I understand them, and I can relate to that way of thinking. But as I told you, I mean, I have invested many years and a lot of money in my life in learning and for master's degrees, and yeah. So for me, learning is a must. I'm always learning. What I will tell people is, okay, you don't have to go to my platform or any platform, and you don't have to spend money. There are many ways to learn. You can read books, you can watch a YouTube video, you can watch a TED talk or whatever. So we were saying it before, Kirsty. I mean, we all have different ways to learn. So I think what people need to do is to find their own way. And if maybe attending a course is the best way, then fantastic. I think in the end, some of the people who take our courses on Translastars is, of course, those people who want to continue learning, some others who want to change their career, and they say, okay, let me see if this is what it's for me. We have had some experiences of people who said, look, I do not want to start a master degree in audiovisual translation before I test what audiovisual translation is. So I'm going to take one of your courses. I'm going to see what this is about. And then I will invest my time in 1 year or 2 years of that. So it all makes sense in the end. I mean, if for people who just want to test, people who want to invest more time, people who do not want to invest time at all, for me, I understand everybody. So I'm not going to, I will invite people to test or to try our courses. As I was saying, even if they pay and if they don't like it, we will refund them. So yeah, I mean, there is no, this is a no risk case. So it's just a win-win situation. And most platforms, I think it will be same situation. If you don't like it, just tell the owner, hey, can you give me my money back? This is not for me, and that's all. But yeah, better keep on learning the way you want. I mean, that's life. Life is learning. So I mean, you can do it in a more formal or informal way, but do not stop learning. Do not stop doing things that bring food to your brain.
Yeah, there are so many benefits, like health benefits, as well as the information that you're learning, keeping your brain busy, being
Absolutely.
curious. These are all really good things for our own development, continual development.
Absolutely. And then from something you learn, you may develop an idea or a business or something that you thought, okay, I didn't know I could do this, or I didn't know this thing existed. So that's the idea also behind this. I mean, you take a course and maybe it's opening you the eyes to a new field, or to make you realize you were not doing what you liked. So yeah, so there are many opportunities when you take learning.
Yeah, especially if it's like yours, it is specific to people's career and that the path that they've already taken and ways that they can branch out from that initial path, other things that they may not know they enjoy. And so how about the idea of community then? So, okay, you can sit there on your own and you can watch the videos if you want to, but if you are participating actively in a course, is there a way for people who are doing that to be in touch with one another, to maybe help each other or to
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, actually, that's something that we always say. I mean, we always, and it's personally, it's something that I always do. So I always invite people in the courses that where I teach, or even if I am introducing someone, in the master sessions, I always introduce the speakers before they deliver their first sessions. I always encourage people to connect, for example, nowadays LinkedIn, I think, is easiest way or easiest place to connect. And what I say is to connect, do not follow. What I tell people is, I do not want followers, I want connections. So do not follow me, connect with me. I always answer messages, and maybe it takes me 1 day or two, but I mean, that's quite fast. But connect, and try to, I mean, you may not be looking for a job opportunity, but a connection may bring you other connections or may bring you new realities that you didn't know, or thanks to that connection, you see new tools that you didn't even think that could be used for your own benefit. So it's about connecting. And then we have on TranslateStars, we have a Slack community, which is for free. So you can register, which is also free. Sign up on TranslateStars, and you have access to our Slack community where you can interact with other people. And of course, all courses have their own forum, so you can share their ideas or whatever. People is in live courses, but what I have seen, the experience that people like to talk to each other, they like to interact, they participate in the chat and things like that, or when we make breakout rooms, and they also like to interact. So yeah, it's a quite a live community, and yeah, I hope it continues growing. We are always trying to bring more things that are useful. For example, last week we started sharing more information about jobs, new job positions, openings. We used to do that in our Slack community. We started doing that years ago, but the Slack community is inside our platform, so we're not giving a lot of visibility to those jobs. And now we publish them directly on LinkedIn. So and that's having a big impact. And say, okay, our role should be to help the community to make it stronger. So that's what we are trying to do. I mean, step by step, slowly, because we also, I mean, we don't have infinite resources. But yeah, there are many community opportunities in our platform.
Yeah, so you've got the Slack community, you've got LinkedIn, which I've seen a lot of, and also by creating the page for our episode, I see that you have the other social media platforms as well. So wherever people are, there is a chance that they can find you on LinkedIn, on YouTube, on Instagram, Facebook.
We are on the typical social media that you can think of, like Instagram, YouTube. We have our interviews there. We also do some interviews from time to time, but usually once per month, and we upload them to YouTube, but also to our platform. We have some free courses on YouTube. So yeah, we try to also to contribute to the community. We have, I don't know, I don't remember now by heart, but around 15 free courses on our platform. So, I mean, that's something which is also truly useful. So, yeah.
Yeah, so the interviews are with your course creators or with people who have completed the courses or.
It can be course creators or anyone that it's me who makes the interview. So it's people that I personally like or admire or I follow, and I want to know more about what they are doing and how they do things. So I get in touch with them and say, look, I would like to talk to you and record an interview. And then it's not an interview. It's more like a chat, a relaxed chat where we talk about things related to what they do. And that's, yeah, basically it. But yeah, that's something we do on a monthly basis. And we stream it live. We live stream the interviews, and then we also upload the recording to YouTube. So live streaming, so we give opportunity to those watching us to interact and to make questions if they want through our social media. So that's also interesting.
Yeah, it's live feedback, live questions. And you're right, it's like having a podcast. You can approach people whom you may never otherwise be able to speak with, to have conversations. It's a really great
Absolutely.
opportunity. Okay, so do you have any I'm going to put all these links on our show notes page. Do you have any closing thoughts or tips for people about, lifelong learning or
Yeah, I
how.
mean, well, I don't know if, yeah, tips. What I will say is what we were saying before. I mean, keep on learning. The way you want, whatever you want. Keep on creating. Well, keep on creating and keep on learning if that's your thing. I mean, I wouldn't push people, or I don't like to push people to do things they don't like, but we all have something to show, to teach. And so yeah, there is always something that we can teach. So and that we can do. If you are a creative person, try to do what you want to do. I am 47, and I'm saying this because I started with this idea 5 years ago. So it's never late to start a business. It's never late to start an idea. It's never late to learn, because of course, by doing, I'm learning a lot. By starting this business, I have learned millions of things that I didn't know anything about. I mean, or I knew very little about marketing strategies or things like that. So sometimes by getting out of this very typical thing, getting out of our comfort zone, creating something, it also leads us to learn. So I will encourage people, if you have an idea, do it, try it, and test it. And I mean, whatever that, I mean, what can happen is, if you are successful, very well. If you are not, you at least you will get some learning. That's
You will learn something from the experience.
That when people ask me, I started when I finished the university, my first degree. I created a very small translation agency, and I learned a lot from it. It was a total failure, but I learned a lot from it, because it was a really good experience. I spent it was on the early days of the internet. I spent a lot of money and a huge amount of money on the website, which was super cool. But then you realize that, okay, you have to be more humble. Start a little bit with not believing that you are Steve Jobs and you are going to be the next Apple in the translation industry. So you learn a lot from your mistakes or the things that didn't go well. So that's what I would say. I will encourage people, if they feel like it, to create, to teach, to try, because trying, they learn. So, and of course, if they want to go to Translate Stars, I will be super grateful. But yeah,
Yeah, we
that's
will add the links. And
it.
I think you're right. I just add to that, when we have so many opportunities now in terms of learning, like the topic that we started with was learning via courses. And I just think for those who maybe have had some less positive experiences with learning in the past, like that's the past. And there are so many different ways you can learn, so many different course creators, like techniques for training, so many different ways, it could be videos, it could be reading, there are so many options that we have now that don't be stuck in the past. If you didn't have a good learning experience,
Absolutely.
try something else and you might find something you like. Don't give up too soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. I mean, it's just about trying and about seeing what it's for you or not. I mean, it could be that some people that are listening to us go to Translate Stars and they say, well, this is not my thing. Okay, no, nothing happens. Try another thing, try another platform. Maybe not find your thing, and or the way you like learning. So we are not perfect and will never be, but we try to deliver good content. So yeah.
Yeah, and so thank you for that. Thank you for your time today, and thank you for starting this series.
Yeah.
For the listeners, we will have the other 9 parts of the series coming up with different ways that you can learn. So this was learning through courses. There'll be another 9 different methods for learning. And yeah, Alfonso, thank you. I will put all the links for Translate Stars and all your social media links on the page. So I'd encourage people, if you don't know about this platform already, come and check it out. This isn't sponsored. I've just heard so many good things about it. That's why I wanted to do this episode. And yeah, thank you for everyone else. Have a great week.
Thank
And
you for
yeah.
having me. Thank you for your time. Thank you, everybody. Bye
Thank
bye.
you. Keep learning. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.